The Factory Podcast from Bright & Associates, presented by Jim Bright.
Hello, my name is Jim Bright, and welcome to this very first Factory Podcast. The name for the podcast, The Factory, comes from the fact that we share our offices with a jazz musician, and it's based in a factory which includes his recording studio. Consequently, there is a creative sense around the office and, of course, in the recording studio, and lots of creative people coming to and fro. This may seem odd at first until you start to think that career development is all about encouraging individuals to be creative in their approach to their work and their approach to themselves, so they can continually reinvent themselves and find new possibilities through their careers. The jazz musician concerned is James Morrison, the trumpeter. You may have noticed the music in the introduction, and you'll notice throughout this podcast and future podcasts, the music is provided by James Morrison. You can check out his music at jamesmorrison.com. This is a neat way of introducing our first key interview of our factory series, and we were honoured to have the opportunity to interview Professor Norman Amundsen from the University of British Columbia. Norm Amundsen is famous around the world for his innovative and creative approaches to career counselling. He has written several books that Bright & Associates sell, including Active Engagement and The Physics of Living. In March of 2007, Norm Amundsen visited Australia and participated in some workshops co-presented by myself and Professor Robert Pryor. The workshops were entitled Creating Active Engagement with Your Clients and focused on Norm's work on dynamic counselling and our work on applying the chaos theory of careers to career development issues. The interview you're about to hear was conducted just prior to our second workshop in Brisbane, as we sat in the room waiting for the participants to arrive for what was a very successful day. So, let's hand it over to Norm Amundsen and Creating Active Engagement. Okay, it's March the 3rd. It's about 20 past 8 in the morning in Brisbane, and I'm talking to Professor Norman Amundsen before we run a session on creating active engagement. And I look over Norm's shoulder to see the screen. It says Dynamic Career Strategies and the Use of Metaphors, Dr. Norman Amundsen, University of British Columbia, Canada. Welcome, Norm.
Oh, thank you.
Dynamic Career Strategies, tell me about that.
Well, I guess it's looking at career in sort of a new way rather than just a conversation between two people, that you try to make it something that's memorable. An author called Malcolm Gladwell in The Tipping Point talks about the stickiness factor, that you're doing things in career counseling that people will actually remember, that they're kind of struck by, using different kinds of visual and physical activities as well as conversation.
Okay. I mean, one thing, having seen you present and having read some of your books, like Active Engagement, for instance, and The Physics of Living, it strikes me that you're moving away from this notion that it's two people in a room, it's all verbal, it's all about sort of, let's narrow it straight down to getting the right options. What are these other strategies?
Well, I think one of the first things is just really kind of sitting back and doing a critical look at what you're doing. And, you know, we know that if you're going to have a group come to present as we are today, that we sort of have to make it interesting for them. We have to give them some food and drink out there. Mm-hmm. And so we know in a group context, we know that we have to sort of create an experience for people. Mm-hmm. But if it was just an individual coming today, well, get rid of the drinks and put them in a small closet somewhere, and we'll just talk together, and maybe we don't put the same thought and planning into it, and we probably don't imagine that we have to do anything that's particularly exciting or interesting for them.
Okay. And I think also when it's the one-to-one, we make the thing purely verbal and just very straightforward. We just listen to what people say, write it down.
Yeah. That's the history, and then we give them some direction, and that passes as counselling. And you would say that's better ways to do it.
That's really kind of the lowest level, I think, in terms of effectiveness. And we all know that. I mean, if you ask anybody, they know that people remember what they see and what they do, mm-hmm. and kind of forget the verbal stuff mm-hmm. faster. So if we just applied learning theory and learn what people learn, we know that we have to make it more active. Mm-hmm. And we have to create, and also in building on imagination and saying that people come into counseling with a crisis of imagination, that mm-hmm. in some ways they're limited, and we want to stimulate that imagination. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to stimulate imagination if you're not in a particularly imaginative kind of environment.
So I come to see you. It's not hard for you to imagine that I have no imagination. I feel stuck in my job. I've been doing it for 10 years. I just feel I'm not learning anything. People don't seem to respect me or acknowledge what I'm doing. I don't respect me or acknowledge what I'm doing either. Yeah. I don't know what to do. Help me.
Well, see, the first thing that people then say is, help me, and then as a counselor, I jump into helping you. But before that, I would say, well, let me try to understand who you are as a person. Mm. So all the research on counseling effectiveness points to the fact that the relationship is really critical here. Mm-hmm. So I would say before I get into the problem, let me just take a few minutes, step back, and just get to know a little bit about who you are and your context. And I have an activity called 20 favorite things that mm-hmm. we can do some of that. So from a more holistic stance, mm-hmm. I get to know who you are as a person, and then say, okay, now let's sort of look into sort of how to make your life more satisfying.
Okay, so in a sense, you're not jumping forward. You're spending a bit of time going back, and you have this notion called the backswing.
Yeah, and then basically, and in the book Physics of Living, I talk about the fact that you have to go, that the physical world, in a sense, you can look at a lot of parallels with the psychological world. And one of the physical principles is that if I'm going to move anything forward, if I'm going to throw a ball or whatever, the first thing you got to do is backswing. You got to move back in a controlled manner, build your energy, mm-hmm. and then you go forward. Mm-hmm. And as counselors, we're kind of in the backswing business.
Right.
We're in the business of taking people on this journey backwards. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get stuck there and just kind of swirl around and never let go.
Yep.
But a nice, controlled, short backswing with a movement forward, letting go, and then some follow-up.
I think that notion of the controlled backswing, and the whole point of the backswing is it implies, ultimately, it's going to move forward.
Right.
I think sometimes you see some techniques which look kind of gee whiz. Haven't I described what happened 20 years ago really well?
Yeah.
And that's the end of counseling, but that ultimately doesn't help the individual.
Yeah. No, I think it's really important. I mean, you can get lost in the backswing. Mm. It can become just a never-ending sort of movement back. And really, it is just a kind of review. It's a building esteem, mm-hmm. Making people feel better about themselves, giving them some self-knowledge. And then they need to move forward, but move forward with more energy, more mm-hmm. direction. Potency.
Okay. Now, you can tell I don't like words.
Yeah.
I can't communicate in words. Would any other approaches for somebody like that who's just doesn't want to open up? She's not very verbal.
Well, I think with I take people sometimes outside of the office and we walk the problem and we mm-hmm. sort of look at the problem at one end of a hallway and say there's the solution at the other end and take them back to that. Mm-hmm. Look backwards and. Might go for walks with people or out into a park or mm-hmm. so there's a whole, I mean, you don't get stuck into thinking you just have to sit in a room and talk together.
I've noticed this, I noticed it yesterday when we were flying up from Sydney with Robert Pryor sat between us, that there's something about that shared context and the changing context and you see people coming towards you and being sort of in a line as opposed to being sort of oppositional or face to face.
Yeah.
It can generate all sorts of possibilities in terms of people talking, and certainly on those long-haul flights, people often
they get to know each other very well. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I think that you find with a lot of young people, for instance, is that, I know my own kids, that the best conversations I've had with them are in the car, mm. they can't escape, or else just on walks, you know, where yep. we're going together. And so I think it's a bit misleading to think that we all have to sit together and look in each other's eyes. Mm. Sometimes it can be just as effective just going for a walk together.
Great. And what about things like drawing and things like that? Does that play a part in your role?
Oh, yeah. I use a lot of drawing and visualizing, but what I found was that we actually structure our room so that we don't often have that kind of material available or readily accessible. Mm. And so part of starting out on this journey of becoming a dynamic counselor is to really recreate your room mm-hmm. so that, and I use a flip chart or something which I would set right between us, mm-hmm. you know, so that, or right on the edge, so that you can sort of, we can easily draw if we want to. And it's just drawing pictures, but maybe even just making lists or whatever.
Right. I think that, yeah, I mean, you don't see flip charts in counseling rooms enough, I think. And it can be a very effective way of communicating.
Yeah, I mean, if they're there, people will use them. Mm. People will, you know, do something with it. I mean, if they have to sort of go and cart it out from the cupboard or something like that, yeah. they're not going to bother with it. But just make things accessible so that in that moment, when that spontaneous moment, you can say, oh, yeah, well, let's just put this on the flip chart. If it's not there, you're not going to do it that way.
Now, I want to move on to another important aspect of your work, and you can actually personally help me here, because right. professionally, if I hear another person in a training context talk about the journey we're about to go on, yeah. I think I'm going to shoot them. Is journey the only metaphor we have for careers?
No, I think there's a whole lot of different metaphors that we can use. A garden, we can use a calling, you know, mm. For some people, a puzzle, a yoke for mm. other people. There's lots of different ways of kind of construing career. And in some ways, metaphors are so, I mean, they're so powerful right. and great, but at the same time, they can become like traps. They can right. be their own rut, in a sense, that's what you're saying. And one of the things about creativity is that people become more creative when they learn to see themselves through different perspectives, and that one of the ways of doing that is using different metaphors.
And I think you demonstrated that really well yesterday in Sydney, where we had someone from the audience come up and they started talking in terms of journey.
Yeah.
And you said, what about legacy? You
yeah.
said, as a counselor, you can insert your own metaphors and see how the client works with those. What happened when you mentioned legacy?
Well, you could see the look in her face. I mean, you know, like in some ways, she's not used to thinking about that. Mm. You know, always in terms of just getting straight ahead, but not really thinking about, well, what kind of a path is she, you know, what is this journey that she's on, and how, what's she leaving behind, in a sense? Mm. Is it just the water closing behind her, or is there something mm. she's trying to leave with people? It gets people thinking in a different kind of way. Mm. And sometimes it's unexpected, and, you know, you can see them sort of take a step back when they hear that. But I like the idea that I'll take some metaphors from them, and then I'll add other metaphors, and, you know, and maybe nothing happens, but sometimes magic happens.
Yes, that notion of magic. And I thought, thinking of legacy, early this morning I downloaded a song for you that you wanted yesterday, Take It to the Limit.
One More Time.
One More Time.
The Eagles. Yeah.
Why is that important for you?
Well, I think that was always, you know, and I use things like songs and, you know, I think these things kind of sit in our minds as mm. often kind of guiding lights, if we will. And mm. and I can remember many situations where, you know, through challenges in my own life where, mm. you know, I needed some pick up and go. Mm. And that particular line of take it to the limit one more time, it just kind of gave me a boost.
Gave you a boost.
And set it on its way.
I guess I'm going to turn that question about legacy on to you. I'm going to give that metaphor to you, Norm.
Yeah.
If you have to think of your career in terms of legacy.
I mean, I guess I see, and probably it's becoming a bigger word for me now than it would have been at one point in time. I see it that I've had an opportunity here to sort of start kind of career in many different countries and contexts, and lay a bit of a foundation. And so I'm hoping that the legacy I leave is that career counseling will not only start up in a lot of these other countries, but it'll start up in a new way and maybe take on some of these dynamic ideas. So rather than going through a whole phase of this endless testing, that we'll get a sort of a jump start on sort of a new perspective.
Okay. Norm Amundsen, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot.
That was Norm Amundsen talking to me in Brisbane in March of this year. You might be interested to know that you can obtain a range of Norm Amundsen products through Brighton Associates in Australia. If you are overseas, you should contact Norm's company Ergon Communications in British Columbia directly. Products that we sell include his book Active Engagement, which I personally believe is the best book on career counselling available in the world today. If you like Norm's approach and imagination, then you'll love his book. We also sell The Physics of Living. And for those of you who like the idea of playing with metaphors in counselling and their power, then The Physics of Living really is a worthwhile book. We also sell Career Scope, which is a book designed for school children to use, and this has been used extensively in Canada. It's a workbook that helps school students do all of the career planning activities that are typically associated with most career education programs. If you're interested in those products or anything else that Brighton Associates sell, go to brightonassociates.com.au and check out our shop. We'd be happy to help you.
That was another Factory podcast brought to you by Brighton Associates. www.brightandassociates.com.au